Okay, well, I am starting out today's message just by giving you an apology because last week we had some technical difficulties with the computer system, etc. And then we got it fixed Sunday night, but then Sunday night I got distracted. And then, you know, Monday, Tuesday came around and I was working and I just never got around to the recording. So I just wanted to apologize and let you know. By the time it came around Wednesday or Thursday, I'm like, well, yeah, what's the point now? Because the message wasn't there for last week. So that's why I'm picking up where I left off last time. So if you guys would grab your Bibles, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 17 with me. I'm going to try something a little bit different, and hopefully it'll work out. But let me begin with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would remove any distractions, that you would allow us to hear you speak to us through your word today, in Jesus' name. Okay, so let me just read chapter 17. There was, it's sort of a long chapter, and I didn't find a good place to divide it, so I'll try and explain what I'm going to do, but let me go through it. I'm going to go through verse by verse, sort of like we used to do on Sundays, and give you some just clarifying points of each thing, and then I'll discuss my theme for the day. But verse 1 of chapter 17 in Proverbs says, "Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife." And in that's basically just saying, you know, if you are not well off, you might not have a whole lot of things in this life. But if you live a peaceful life, that's a much better situation than actually having, when it says a house full of feasting, it's like having a lot of money or having, you know, wealth and always having trouble. And, you know, this is a spiritual situation that it's talking about there. So, you know, if you have a peaceful life, that's a spiritual blessing. But if you have all the luxuries in this world and you don't have peace with God, you're in trouble. anyway, let me keep going. Verse 2 says, "A wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers." Now, remember, these proverbs were written by Solomon. And Solomon, his own son was named Rehoboam. And when Solomon died, his son, you know, failed as a king. And he didn't follow in his father's footsteps. And actually, if you read the book of Kings and Chronicles, you'll see that the nation of Israel actually divided because nobody wanted to follow Solomon's son. His son was not wise. And so one of Solomon's servants was named Jeroboam, and 10 of the tribes of Israel chose him as king. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but, you know, the proverb that we read says a wise servant will rule over a son, and that's exactly what happened in the case of Solomon and his son. And you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, you guys don't want to listen to older people and the advice that they give you, and oftentimes you regret it at a later date. But, you know, that's just the way life is, and, you know, youth is wasted on the young. Try and figure that saying out. Verse 3, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." Now, that's actually talking about, you know, goldsmiths or, you know, metal workers. And, you know, when they want to purify metals, they use heat. You know, gold will liquefy, actually, and silver too. And when you get it hot enough, what happens is that most impurities in those metals will burn off. And what it's saying is that, you know, there's a way that you can use to refine gold and silver. But it says the Lord tests the heart. And when it says test the heart, it's talking about he can purify your heart. And God uses trials and difficulties and other things to purify our hearts as Christians. But let me keep going. Verse 4 says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. And so, you know, there's a lot of false religions in the world. And the sad part about false religions, you guys, is that there's always people to listen to them. Even in the time of Jesus, you know, the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jewish faith, most of them were fakers. They weren't real, you know, devotees, if you will, to God. They were just religious. And, you know, people would follow them all the time. And today you have so many false religions. I mean, just in Christianity alone, you have Jehovah's Witnesses, you have Mormons, there's all kinds of false religions out there. And, you know, it's unfortunate because people are easily led astray. But, you know, that's what that's talking about there in verse 4, is that, you know, a liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. If you look for, I'll put it to you this way, if you look for God or a religion that suits your tastes, then you're not really looking for God, because God says, you know, there's only one way, that's through Jesus Christ and the revealed word that he's given us. Anyway, verse 5 says, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Now, we've looked at this before in another verse, what it's saying there is that it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, that you belong to God. God made you. And, that if you make fun of people or if you look down on somebody just because they're poor or they live in a poor country or their circumstances, you are looking down on somebody that God created. And then the second part of that verse is, he who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. It's like saying, you know, you shouldn't be happy that somebody got, punished for something, or even somebody who deserves to get punished, you know, that we shouldn't be glad about that, because, if any of us were to get what we deserve, I don't think we would, you know, want that. You know, most of us don't want what we deserve. We want to be treated nice and, get good things, but we don't want to get what we deserve. Anyway, verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Well, I can attest to that because, I love my grandchildren, and you know, I don't know that they're my glory, but I do feel that, you know, it's a blessing to have grandchildren. But really what verse 6 is talking about is that it's stable families that brings blessings. But our society is full of unstable families, that most people don't get married, and that, you know, if you look at the state of the family, and I'm talking about family in terms of biblical family, God said, you know, one man, one woman, and have children. That's God's design. but when we don't follow that, and you have a society where, you know, people just have children willy-nilly and, you know, whatever, and I'll have, what happens is that you have an unstable society, and that's really what we have today. And, you know, the family unit, of a mom, a dad, and children is really the basic structure of church. That's what God's design has been, that, you know, mom and dad are to instruct their children in the way they should go. And then, you know, church is just another reflection of that, of, you know, healthy families. And, you know, in church is just a reflection of society. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that most churches are, most people are leaving churches. And, you know, you guys maybe don't even want to be here, and I understand that. But that's just a reflection on our society going away from what God has designed and doing what we think is best, and we end up with lousy results. Verse 7 says, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. And, you know, I taught you guys this before about how, you know, whatever you say is actually reveals what's in your heart. Verse 8 says, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. And, you know, bribes are taken because, you know, most people think only about themselves, and so they'll take a bribe because it benefits them, but they're not, you know, they think they're getting a benefit, but in actuality, they're not benefiting. They are doing harm to justice. They are not doing the right thing. And so, you know, the fool will think he's, you know, he'll prosper because he has his whatever he took as a bribe, but the fact of the matter is it's it's injustice, and God will judge it. Verse 9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." And, you know, what that's essentially saying is that, you know, as friends and as people who know the Lord, it's easy to talk about somebody and you know, talk about their flaws and their problems. But what's not easy is to cover people's flaws and errors and not reveal them to other people. But it says you seek love when you try and do that. And, you know, that's what God says. We're to love one another. We're to love others as we, you know, love ourselves. But if you are constantly talking about others and, you know, revealing, you know, things about others, and you join into that kind of conversation, you're really the type of person who separates friends, and God doesn't look favorably on that. Verse 10 says, "Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool." Now, hopefully that's clear, but what it's saying is that, you know, a wise person, you know, and you don't have to have all knowledge, but a wise person grows when they are rebuked or corrected or instructed. But, you know, a fool, you can beat him with a rod and you can hit him over the head, but, you know, he just continues to be a fool because he's not teachable. And that's the thing, is that, you know, you should learn that at a young age, that, you know, you don't know everything. You think you know everything, but you really don't. And if you're wise, you will try and learn from others. Verse 11 says, "And an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent to him." And, you know, really what that's saying is that, you know, our evil will eventually bring God's wrath if we don't repent and change. Verse 12 says, "Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly." Now, I know that sounds like kind of extreme. You know, I don't know if you would ever steal the baby bear cubs from a mother and, you know, as some kind of a joke, but, you know, you're going to get the wrath of a bear if you steal her cubs. But the comparison there is saying rather than meet a fool in his folly, it's like, you know, foolishness and not being wise will actually lead to eternal problems. You know, I don't know if we've studied yet, but the Proverbs say, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So for somebody to say there is no God, for you guys, anybody to say there is no God, that is so, forgive my word, but it's so stupid. It's so foolish, because what you're saying when you declare there is no God is that you know that there is no God. You don't have the capacity to say that. Now, I can't prove to you that God exists either, but I'm certainly not going to declare authoritatively that God does not exist. I mean, that's foolish. Anyway, verse 13, "Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house." Whoa. That's sort of like, you know, what goes around comes around, or karma, you know. And, you know, biblically speaking, you see that in the Bible. You see that, you know, many people who acted foolishly and evilly in an evil manner, it came back to haunt them. Anyway, verse 14, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts." And, you know, just to give you the understanding, what it's that's basically just saying, you know, fix problems when they're small, when they're easy to deal with. Don't let things go on for a long time, because the picture there of like releasing water or it's, the picture is like a dam, if you will, like a dam that has, you know, holding back lots of water and lots of, you know, pressure. And if it starts to leak, man, you better patch that quickly, because if it doesn't, if you don't, a small leak can eventually start to grow and then, you know, can tear down the whole dam and flood everything. So that's really what it's saying there. Deal with problems quickly. Verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. And I've told you before, an abomination is something that makes God sick. And what makes God sick in this verse is people who say that the wicked are justified in what they do, or if you condemn people who are just or righteous and doing the right thing. And we're going to look at that more in a little while, so I'm not going to keep looking at that right now. But verse 16 says, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? And, you know, basically I've told you before, that's, you know, like saying you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's exactly what I do with you guys. And I'm not saying you guys are fools or stubborn or, you know, a horse. I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm telling you is that even if you are foolish, even if you're not born again, even if you're not a child of God, you have the opportunity, if you will, to receive from God wisdom and forgiveness and salvation. But, you know, if you're a fool, you won't go for that. But, you know, it's offered to you by God. Anyway, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And I think, you know, it's sort of, they're saying that, like, blood is thicker than water. But that's not always true, you know. I think of, in the Bible, you know, Joseph was sold by his own brothers into slavery. And but, you know, sometimes you guys maybe even know, sometimes your friends are even closer to you than your own siblings. And I think about, you know, Jesus, his own brothers and sisters, you know, they didn't even believe in him while he was in his ministry before he died and rose again. Once he died and rose again, then they understood, whoa, you know, what Jesus was saying was true, but they thought he was a nut. Anyways, verse 18, a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. And basically, I've told you before, it's really just saying it's foolish to co-sign or to assume responsibility for somebody else. And I'll tell you, if you take responsibility for somebody else, the truth of the matter is that person is not really ready for the responsibility he's trying to take. So that's why it's saying it's foolish to do that. Verse 19 and 20, it says, he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. You know, hopefully those are self-explanatory and they make sense. Verse 21 says, he who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Those are talking about parents. Now, when a parent has a foolish son or a foolish daughter or somebody who's, you know, not teachable, it breaks their hearts, you know, as parents. But that's really what it's saying, is that, you know, as parents, you know, you want the best for your children, or I know I did. And, you know, it's sad when your children don't listen to you. And I, you know, hopefully I'm not beating a dead horse, but you guys, the things that your parents tell you, you probably look at them like, oh, my parents are so old and so they don't get it and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is that they really want just the best for you. And you'd be wise to listen to what they have to say. Anyway, in verse 22, it says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And in the spiritual sense, you know, when you talk about salvation, to me, it brings you peace in life. And I don't mean peace that I don't have problems or difficulties, but it means that I don't struggle in life anymore to, you know, I'm not wondering what life is about. It gives me a peaceful life and it gives me joy to live. But when you don't have that, and when you don't have joy and you don't have peace and you don't have salvation, then life is a struggle. It's difficult. And those things actually affect your health. You know, and that's scientifically proven that stress and strife actually do take a toll on somebody's health. Verse 23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. We're going to look at that some more. And I mentioned that, you know, bribes are when things are not done correctly and according to justice, it's a perversion because God is just. God wants justice. And we're going to look at that hopefully in a couple minutes. Verse 24 says, wisdom in the sight of him who has understanding. No, wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Now, hopefully, you guys can understand what that's saying. Saying if you're wise, you know, wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding. Well, I've told you before, wisdom comes from God. So if you look to God and get wisdom from God, you're looking up. You are led properly because God wants to guide you. But if you're a fool, you'll only look here on the earth. The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. You just look at this earth and say, oh yeah, I want this, that, and the other thing. But it's foolish to live that way because this life is not all there is. Anyway, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Again, mentioning parents and when their sons are foolish, and it doesn't mean silly. When it mentions foolish there, it's normally talking about people who don't believe in God and don't trust his word. And, you know, the Bible's very clear. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you are like that, if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in his word and whatever, then you're actually, you bring sadness to your parents because I know that their desire is for you to know God and to understand his ways and to prosper from that. Okay, verse 26, the key verse. Also, to punish the righteous is not good, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. I'll come back to that because we're going to look at that in just a second. Verse 27 and 28 go together. It says, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Now, just to put it in perspective so you understand what it's saying there, it's not just saying, you know, you don't have to say anything, but if you think you know everything and you're always telling everybody that you know everything and you always have an opinion, then the fact of the matter is that you're not very smart. You're a fool. Because if you understand where your wisdom comes from, like, you know, anybody who comes to me and says, Tony, I have this problem. I want to do this. I'm trying to get a job, or I want to marry this girl, or I want to get a divorce, or anybody comes to me with their problems, guess what I do? I don't give them my opinion because my opinion sucks. It's worthless. The only opinion that really counts, the only wisdom that I can give them is from God's word. And that's really what those two verses are saying. So now we're going to get into just a little bit of ranting and raving on my part. Wow, sorry about that silence there. I thought I had paused the recording, but obviously I didn't. But my ranting and raving, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give you guys some examples of what's going on in our society today, and hopefully you guys can look at these things with me and see the validity of what I'm telling you. Because our society is really backwards. It's upside down. What's right is left and left is right. What's up is down and down is up, and good is bad and bad is good. And I'm just showing you what I'm talking about today. You know, if a young lady dresses modestly and, you know, other girls who are more provocative and they're showing cleavage and, you know, really short skirts or whatever, they make fun of her and say, wow, you know, that girl's a prude, you know, for dressing modestly. But, you know, the girls who dress, you know, provocatively, they're said that they're cool or fashionable. You know, and talking about dress, you know, a girl, a young lady, or even a young man, and I don't say even a young man, young ladies or young men who choose to maintain their virginity and abstain from sexual escapades, if you will, today they're labeled as weird or really strange people. But today, if you're promiscuous and if you're, you know, if you've slept around with people, even at a young age, well, that's normal, you know. And I know that's what, you know, goes on in high schools and colleges all the time, just, you know, promiscuous life. And like I said, that leads to our society being the way it is. But, you know, even mentioning boys and girls today, it's weird because, you know, in schools, I know that there's some school districts that say that teachers can't even address boys and girls as boys and girls because they don't want to assume their gender. Well, how ridiculous is that, assuming gender? I mean, boys are boys and girls are girls. I asked my granddaughter, and she knows the difference, but, you know, today's society thinks they're so smart that, you know, gender is neutral and fluid. It is not. But, you know, today, you can go to a library and you have drag queen story time, which they say is a great thing, but to tell boys and girls that they're boys and girls is, you know, that's not a good thing, you know. And speaking of boys and girls, men and women, even today, you know, if you uphold marriage as between a man and one woman, you're labeled as homophobic. Because you say, wow, you know, people, the society says, well, you're just a homophobe. But today, gay marriage is said to be progressive, or that's the way to think. And again, all these things come from the Word of God. I'm not trying to give you anything that's my own invention. You know, you can redefine marriage, but the marriage was defined originally by God. So I don't know how you're going to change it. But anyway, you know, some other things. Today, you know, animal rights are a big thing. You know, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I mean, you can go to jail today for being cruel to a dog. But on the flip side of that, you can abort your child, which to me is, you know, horrid. So, I mean, we have animal rights for which you can go to jail. But, you know, it's a woman's right to kill a child in her womb. I mean, talk about evil and good. Our society is so messed up. And even, you know, today you think about, you know, corporations are always looked at as the evil corporations, like they're doing something wrong. Well, God ordained work. God invented work. And he said that to work hard and to gain wealth is not a bad thing. But today it said, oh, yeah, that's a bad thing. Today what's, you know, considered progressive is a welfare state where they give you everything and free education and free this and free that, free food, welfare, socialism, free healthcare, free this, free, you know, that's considered good. But to work and to earn and to strive, no, that's bad. You know, you have to go against those people. And you know, what got me on this thinking was just looking at, you know, the last couple weeks of all these marches and, you know, George Floyd and stuff. And I what happened to him was horrible. I don't condone what the police did to him, and I don't know why they did it. And, you know, justice should be served. I mean, they should investigate that completely to find out what went on there. But, you know, today, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay, Black Lives Matter. I think Black Lives Matter, but so do brown and white and, you know, yellow. I mean, all lives matter. So that's nothing new. But they want to make it seem like law enforcement and police and, you know, that whole societal structure, like that's bad. It's oppressive. And that the police are oppressive and that there is, what do they say, the word they say, there is systemic racism in police society. That's not true. I mean, that is easily proved if you look at statistics. You can easily see that it's not true. But, you know, that's what they want you to believe. And so then they have all these marches, you know, and, you know, I understand if you want to march for something and go out there and voice your opinion. But when you get anarchy and when you have, you know, people blocking streets and, you know, looting and, you know, they consider that justice, you know, that we're seeking justice. No justice, no peace. But, you know, the reality is that it's totally backwards from what it should be. And, you know, the sad part is that the Word of God talks about woe to a society, woe to people. Woe, when it says woe, it's like, look out, problems are ahead. Because if you have a society that considers evil good and good evil, you are not long for this world. God is going to judge it. And actually, I don't even think God needs to judge it, because that society is a godless society. When you have godless society, you have lawlessness. When you have lawlessness, what you end up is having anarchy and chaos. And we are not far from that today. And so I know I sort of just rambled on there, but you know, the things, I just warn you guys, don't just believe everything that you hear and that you see on the internet or on news channels or even in newspapers, if you still read them, because the bottom line that I want you guys to understand is that God's word is true. There is no social justice. There is no, you know, different types of justice. God looks at justice all the time. In fact, justice, if you will, if you look at the Supreme Court, I think there's something that shows a woman holding some scales, but she's blindfolded. You know why she's blindfolded? Because she shouldn't look at race. She shouldn't look at age. She shouldn't look at status. She shouldn't. Justice is justice. So in the case of George Floyd, I think it was unjust. It was not just that if he was killed by that cop. And I think justice would be that if that cop, you know, took his life, then that cop should pay a price for that. That's justice. But all the other stuff that's going on, looting and, you know, there have been so many people that have suffered in all these demonstrations, that is not justice. And when you think, you know, when these people cry out, no justice, no peace, you know, the bottom line that I want you guys to understand is that as a society, there is no justice without God. Because what I think is just and what you think are just are probably two different things altogether. But when God says it's right or wrong, then you can come to an agreement. And if you have no agreement, if you have no standard for your morals, then you have no morals, because your opinion is just as good as mine. So when somebody throws a brick at a cop and they think that they're doing it in the name of justice, well, you know, they may think that, but it is not just. And ultimately, God is the only arbiter of justice. And so I pray for you guys. I pray for the world that you live in, and I pray for your parents, that you are not being led astray by things you see and hear and observe. But I pray that you are choosing to look to God for truth and justice. So let me pray and I'll say goodbye. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I know this was a lot about me and my opinions, but I know my opinions are formed because of your word. And so I pray for the youth and anybody listening to this message, God, that they would understand that the only truth and justice can come from you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And there will be no justice in this life without you and without your word. So I pray for our nation. I pray for our country and the state. I pray for our city. I pray for our church, and I pray for the families in them. And God, that your word would be the one thing that would guide us into all truth and justice. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.